Welcome to the Florida Roundtable. My name's Bill Mick. I'll be here with you for the hour. You can catch up with me at BillMick.com and drop us your thoughts on the show, questions, comments, suggestions for other show material. But this week, we'll be talking and taking a look at the mental health issues in the state of Florida. From the issues and causes, the costs to solutions and services, we'll see how the mental health landscape impacts our communities across the Sunshine State. Our guest, Melanie Brown-Wolfter, the president and CEO of the Florida Behavioral Health Association. We'll take a look at how they help various service providers across the state, what the issues are that those service providers face, and the impact on each of our communities. Melanie Brown-Wolfter with us today on the Florida Roundtable from the Florida News Network. Those issues straight ahead.
Great deals are now blooming at Quality Green Specialists. Featuring a wide variety of fancy trees, ornamentals, herbs, and flowers, including over 50 varieties of fruiting plants, with sustainable organic nursery products and top quality soil testing. Experience a world of beauty at Quality Green. Open 9 to 4 daily at 335 West Michigan Avenue in DeLand. Online at QualityGreenSpecialist.com. Quality Green Specialists. Top quality plants, sustainable gardening products, friendly expert advice.
Healthcare.gov has plans for health because you have plans for life. All plans cover doctor visits and emergency care to keep you and your family running strong. All plans cover hospital stays and prescriptions so you can have peace of mind. Visit healthcare.gov to explore health plans from the brands you know. 4 out of 5 customers can find a health plan for $10 or less per month with financial help. Healthcare.gov is here for you. Final deadline to enroll is January 15th. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Remember that meal you made last Christmas? The one that everyone still talks about? The one with fresh from Florida sweet corn and sausage stuffing and strawberry parfait for dessert? Of course you do. That's because you're a member of the Fresh from Florida Club. You went to freshfromflorida.com, created a menu from your favorite recipes, and saved it as best Christmas dinner ever. This year, you'll go online, open up that menu, and bam! You've made that meal that everyone is talking about again. The Fresh from Florida Club. You're not just creating menus, you're creating memories.
You work hard to provide a better life for your family. The only problem is that you now have a tax bill that you can't afford to pay. The IRS is now threatening to garnish your wages and put a levy on your bank account. You can't ignore the IRS. They won't go away on their own. You need help. And you need it now. Call the tax pros at United Tax Fix today. Call 800-762-2768. That's 800-762-2768.
And welcome back to the Florida Roundtable. Nice to have you along this weekend as Melanie Brown-Wolfter joins us. She is the president and CEO of the Florida Behavioral Health Association. Melanie, thanks for taking the time. I appreciate you joining us this weekend.
Well, Bill, thank you so much for having us. And we always appreciate the opportunity to talk about mental health and substance use.
I tell you what, we've got a lot of them in the state. And on the foundation here, let's talk about you and your background. What led you to where you are today? Well, you give us your background in mental health and your other experiences.
Oh, sure. Well, thank you. Again, thanks for allowing me to be here. I have a long history in healthcare. I am a nurse by training, graduated from the University of Florida, the Go Gators.
There you go.
And spent some time at Shands and then in various other hospitals in both Austin, Texas, and then back in Florida. Worked mainly neuroscience. And then I came to Medicaid and I was a bureau chief there and realized that I could influence and help more individuals rather than having 6 or 8 patients in a day, directing policy for over, at that time, 2 million Medicaid recipients.
Wow.
And then after I left Medicaid, came here to the association, had a great interest both in mental health and substance use, both from a personal perspective with family members who have suffered with depression, as well as just my desire to be an advocate and to speak on behalf of those without a voice and to help others who are living with these disorders.
And those issues impact entire families, and they also impact communities.
Absolutely. They impact the workforce. They impact everything that we do all day long. They impact schools, colleges, you name it. There's an impact from mental health, whether it's your parents or your grandparents or teenagers or whether it's coworkers, in the workplace.
In my real life, I was a drug cop before I got into radio. So I've seen this from various aspects, and there is no element of society that's not touched.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's one thing about drugs, especially opioids, as well as stimulants, is they are blind to wealth, to race, to gender. They are an equal opportunity employer, if you will. They don't care if you live on the street or if you live in a mansion. They're there for you.
Let's talk a little bit about the Florida Behavioral Health Association. What's its role? What do you guys do? And how do you work with the various providers across the state?
That's a great question. So the Florida Behavioral Health Association is actually a hybrid, if you will. We had two organizations, the Florida Council for Community Mental Health, established in 1954, came together with the Florida Alcohol and Drug Abuse Association, which was formed in 1983, to form the Behavioral Health Association. So, you know, up until about 4 years ago, we each were working in a silo. So we had efforts towards substance use and then efforts towards improving mental health. And we soon realized that the need to come together and integrate those services so that our organizations could offer both. Because as you know, from being on the street, those individuals who have substance use disorders almost always will have a mental health issue. And those with mental health issues will have a huge prevalence to develop a substance use disorder at some point in their life. So we've come together. We are stronger than ever. We are over 70 provider organizations, all the way from Pensacola to Key West. And we are the non-for-profit community providers. So the people we treat are the uninsured, the underinsured, and the Medicaid population. We have a sliding scale, so anyone can walk in the door and receive treatment. Even if you have commercial insurance or you don't have the ability to pay, we will make the service available to you.
I would imagine a big part of that is getting awareness out that that is available for people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, you know, our organizations have been in our local communities for decades, 30, 40, 50 years. We've been the safety net, the go-to for all of the mental health and substance use issues, and we're still there today. So this gives us an opportunity for, and we thank you for this, to be able to let listeners in your area know that these organizations are available. And Brevard County Circles of Care is one of our members, and they provide services throughout Brevard County, both substance use and mental health.
And we're going to talk these statewide issues with Melanie Brown-Wolfter throughout the hour here on the Florida Roundtable. It's good to have you along on the Florida News Network. The issues, the causes, the solutions, successes, maybe failures, things to overcome. We look at all of that on today's edition of the Florida Roundtable.
Did you know that December is one of the worst months for hit-and-run fatalities in Florida? This holiday season, slow down and pay attention while driving. And if you are in an accident, stop and stay at the scene. Leaving the scene of a crash with injuries is a third-degree felony. For more information, visit flhsmv.gov/holiday. From highway to holiday, arrive alive this season. Brought to you by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Get started today.
Call us for free information at 1-800-558-5497. Again, 1-800-558-5497.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, Emmy Award-winning actor, and I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision. Especially when you're galloping side saddle down a countryside road on a horse named Archibello, who seems to have only one speed, high. And pulling on his reins only seems to encourage him to go even faster. So, of course, my body hurts and my joints ache, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life. Oh, Archibello!
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
As soon as this scene wraps, I'm going to kiss the ground, thank Archibello for his outstanding performance, feed him a carrot, and visit brainhealth.gov.
Find out how you can make the most of your brain as you age at brainhealth.gov.
We continue looking at mental health issues in the state of Florida with Melanie Brown-Wolfter of the Florida Behavioral Health Association. She's the president and CEO there. And Melanie, we've both had experience in this realm in our careers to this point. Let's talk for just a minute about, if you had to give me an overview of the state of mental health and these issues in Florida, how would you describe it best?
Well, that's a great question, and thank you for posing it. And I guess we'll first look at the system of care. There are individuals out there who think the system is broken, but from our perspective, our system of care has just been ignored and underfunded for many, many years. And over the last couple of years, really since the pandemic, we've seen a great deal of attention focused on mental health and on substance use. And for the first time in decades, we're seeing the stigma break around mental health. People are having conversations about how they're feeling when they're back in the office, when they're in the grocery store, at the family dinner table. You know, those topics have been taboo for years and years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you and I growing up, no one ever talked at the dinner table about being depressed or having anxiety. That it just wasn't something that was said. So we're seeing an acceptance and a willingness for individuals to seek treatment. And we are thrilled about that. So in terms of the system, at the same time, we are experiencing workforce issues almost like every segment of the economy. So now that demand is up, we're seeing that there is a shortage of professionals, and we're working as hard as we can to make sure that services are available for everyone.
You did mention COVID. And how much of an impact did how governments handled COVID? And we handled it better in Florida than many states did. But how much of an impact did that have on folks with mental health issues, or how much did it contribute to increasing mental health issues?
Well, we were concerned about mental health issues going into COVID, especially with the isolation and folks having to stay home and work remotely and those sorts of things, because that really has an impact on us. Our member organizations worked closely with their clients to be in contact with them almost constantly to make sure things were okay. But we know for the general population, there was an increase in anxiety. We're seeing an increase in family violence. So that when individuals did present for care, they were in a much more severe state than they had been prior to COVID. So we are certainly very pleased that the isolation is over, that we are out and about, and that, you know, services are available. And as you say, Florida did handle it very well.
You've got an array of providers. You said 70 providers across the state. What types of services are they providing? They're not all doing the same thing. So what kind of things are available there?
Oh, you're right. So we have large providers who cover the full continuum, all the way from crisis services, inpatient, to outpatient therapy, medication-assisted treatment, housing, and other recovery supports. And we have smaller organizations that focus on just one or two of those services. Perhaps they serve children on an outpatient basis so that children and parents can come in and receive therapy, or just talk to a counselor, that sort of thing, as well as organizations that primarily provide substance use services, so medication-assisted treatment, talking to peers who are in recovery, and the full gamut of services that go along with that.
We've seen a cry across the country for, and you mentioned crisis intervention, for law enforcement to be less engaged and for mental health professionals to get engaged more. My concern as a former street cop was those can be very volatile, very dangerous situations. I don't think you can send counselors or those kind of folks in alone, at least initially, but yet the cry across the country has been, let's keep the cops out of this. I think that's dangerous for everybody involved.
We certainly, are concerned about that as well, not only from the client perspective, but also from the law enforcement officer perspective. So we are seeing great success with our mobile response teams and with what we call ride-along programs, so that when the call comes in for a crisis and it's determined it may have a mental health component, we send a team, not only law enforcement officers, but a trained professional in mental health, to go along and to meet with those individuals and provide that intervention and that crisis management. And we are seeing with our mobile response teams an ability to divert about 82% of the calls can be diverted from an inpatient admission or from being a jail admission, so that these individuals can remain in the community. We link them to services immediately. We do some de-escalation, and then they are able to receive the treatment that they need. So a lot of success in that area.
There are many times I would have loved to have had a provider along to be able to deal with the situation more than I could. We got minimal training in the police academy, and I went through a very good police academy, but it was basically don't buy into crazy, because they'll beat you if you're working with them in their world. If they're in crisis, you may not have the tools to provide. You do a lot of referral. We ask a lot of cops that they're not necessarily ready to do. How big are these programs that are combining the efforts of law enforcement and mental health folks?
So we have 51 mobile response teams that are statewide, so there's statewide coverage today, and there's an opportunity perhaps to expand that in the months ahead. And we're also are seeing at least a couple dozen, if not more, of the ride-along programs. So we're seeing this both from the sheriff's offices as well as the city police departments. And as I said, really effective care. It helps both law enforcement so that those with mental illness are not in our local jails, and it helps the client so that they can receive the services that they need. We also are working closely with law enforcement on what we call crisis intervention training, or CIT training, so that almost all officers have the education, like you say, in how to deal with mental illness and crisis, that crisis intervention that's there. So, you're right. When you come out of the academy, you can't be taught everything. And so the opportunity to be part of CIT training really helps officers who are on the streets on that beat.
With those 51 response teams that you have, how long of a delay are you looking at in a situation where there's not somebody immediately available to get assistance out to those agencies that are dealing with a family in crisis?
Well, our goal with the mobile response team is to have a response within an hour. Now, obviously, that's a challenge if you're in South Florida with traffic, or if you're in North Florida and it's a very rural area and you've got to drive 50 miles.
Sure.
It could take you a bit to get there. We're leveraging technology, being able to use iPads with the officers on scene until someone else can actually be there. So, but for the most part, we do respond within the hour of receiving the call.
We often talk about the challenges that the advances in technology bring, but that sounds like a good answer for at least helping get a solution while you're waiting for the bigger resolution to the issue.
Yeah, absolutely. Being able to leverage that technology has really helped us. And since the pandemic, too, people are more comfortable being on Zoom or on Teams or talking on their phone for FaceTime, mm-hmm. Those sorts of things. And so we're seeing an acceptance of individuals being willing to talk to a device to see a person, especially teenagers. Some of the older adults are not as comfortable using their phone to actually talk to somebody or see them on the screen, but we are certainly seeing it with the younger population and acceptance of that.
I don't know. I was a Star Trek fan when I was a kid. I want the technology ready, but I want it to work that way now, and it's not quite there yet.
Not quite.
Once we get the
transporter available, it'll be less than an hour and we can do it.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. I love talking to another Star Trek fan. Melanie, let's talk about... If you had to describe the biggest mental health issue in the state, is there one that stands out, or are they divided up regionally? Are you seeing certain things in some places and not in others? How do we understand what's going on exactly?
I think statewide, we can see, when I spoke to earlier, we see an increase in demand and we see challenges with workforce. So really, the biggest barrier that we face right now is being able to meet the demand for services. And that is it's a win and it's also a challenge in that we are so pleased that so many people are now coming in to seek a service. Mm-hmm. We're seeing individuals in our system that have never received a mental health service before. They've never reached out for a counselor. They've never reached out on a crisis call just to talk to somebody or text with someone. And so we really want those to encourage those individuals to come in, as well as those who have been in crisis care or who have chronic conditions like schizophrenia or that sort of thing, to continue their treatment. And so we are seeing a great deal of an increase in funding that has come in through the legislature over the last couple of years. The legislature has really been hesitant in past years to invest in mental health services, but we are just ever so thankful and grateful to our past legislative session and the one before that for an incredible investment in mental health and substance use treatment.
As you deal with the person in crisis, is there one particular problem they're facing? Is there something common among most of them? Is there a percentage? Is there one cause of what's going on here?
There's multiple causes. I don't think that we can point in just one direction. It's a little bit of everything. There's anxiety. There is, some difficult in the economy. People are facing housing issues. And then, it's the availability of drugs, street drugs that are out there. We always say the substance use, the opioid crisis and the substance use disorders and mental health is really an issue of supply and demand. And so we have to have a multi-pronged approach to be able to mitigate those crisis situations. So part of it is reducing supply, working with law enforcement, the Attorney General's office to limit the drugs on the street. And the other is to decrease demand by making services available so that individuals don't turn to substances to be able to, live their daily lives. And deal with the problems that are there.
Seems like the funding issues you were just talking about might help as more resources are available for those folks that have addiction issues or who are trying
absolutely.
To self-medicate.
Yes, absolutely. Our providers really have had shoestring budgets for most of the time that they've been in operation. And so this is certainly helpful to be able to hire and retain the workforce that's there, to develop innovative programs, to use, to leverage research and to see new techniques that are working, has really, really been helpful. We've been able to expand telehealth so that we can reach individuals in their homes. Some people still don't want to be seen on campus, coming into a facility. So if they can receive a therapy session at home, they are much more likely to keep that appointment and then to reap the benefit of that session.
Very good. It makes me wonder about the homeless situation. Many of those people are going to be in some type of crisis or have some type of issue. So as we continue here in just another moment or two, let's explore the homeless side of this and what's available resource-wise for those folks. I know there are multiple organizations trying to help homeless become homed, but are they helping them with the issues they face when they're still living out and about? Melanie Brown Wolfner is with us. She is the president and CEO of the Florida Behavioral Health Association. As we continue this edition of the Florida Roundtable, looking at the state of mental health in Florida, the solutions that are there on the Florida News Network.
Man, it is a beautiful day to fish.
Here's your life jacket.
You know I can swim, right?
So could a lot of people who died falling overboard.
Come on, I'm not a kid.
Fatalities are often men over 30.
It's too hot to wear one.
These new ones are complete.
There, happy? Ooh, I got one!
Glad you wore the life jacket.
Okay, yes.
Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission reminds you to wear your life jacket. Visit wearitflorida.com. Wear it, Florida.
The holidays are a great time to be reunited with friends and family. As you travel this holiday season, be sure your vehicle is road ready. Tires are your vehicle's first line of defense on the road, and checking your tire pressure before your trip can help ensure you get to your destination safely. With proper care and maintenance, they'll keep you safely motoring along Florida's highways. For more tips, visit flhsmv.gov/holiday. From highway to holiday, arrive alive this season. Brought to you by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. Growing up with a brother with autism, Sarah Crump witnessed firsthand how kids with disabilities felt left out by their peers. It's why at the age of 15, Sarah approached her cheerleading coach with an idea to include girls with disabilities on her school's cheer team. Well, what started out as an inclusive high school cheer team in a small town in Iowa has led to what is now known as Sparkle Effect, a thriving nonprofit with over 180 cheer teams across the United States, bringing students with and without disabilities together through cheerleading. The result? More confidence, higher grades, and better school attendance for kids with disabilities. And for those without a disability, new friends and a greater empathy. You want to learn more? Well, visit disabilitycampaign.org, where we have posted a link to the fabulous work known as The Sparkle Effect.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late. We stay informed. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Imagine. Imagine being denied an apartment because of your religion, or your race, or because you have children, or a disability.
It's so wrong.
Yes, but who has the power to stop this?
You do. Each of us has the power. The law is on your side. It's illegal for landlords to discriminate because of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability, or familial status. If you suspect that you have experienced housing discrimination, file a complaint with HUD immediately so we can investigate it. Fair housing is your right.
Use it.
To learn more, visit hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Or call 1-800-669-9777. 1-800-669-9777. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
The Florida Roundtable continues on the Florida News Network as we look at the state of mental health in the state of Florida. From the Florida Behavioral Health Association, their president and CEO, Melanie Brown-Wolfter, is with us. Melanie, again, thanks for taking the time. We were talking the homeless situation. Many of those folks are facing some type of mental disorder or some type of crisis. How tough is it to deal in that homeless population and provide the services that are necessary? I know a lot of military veterans are skeptical of agencies coming in to help them. They're a little scared of dealing with government in many cases. I've seen that with some of my listeners involved here.
Oh, absolutely. And homelessness is a huge contributor to both mental illness and substance disorder. We really see that individuals do much better and have better outcomes if they have a stable place to live rather than having to be on the streets. So our providers and many other agencies across our state are really devoting some resources to house the homeless, to have affordable housing available. And we are seeing within our membership some exciting programs where we integrate mental health and substance use services on site. So there'll be a housing unit that's developed and there'll be a hub on the campus that would allow mental health services to be provided right there on the campus so nobody has to travel. And we're also seeing some recovery services that allow individuals to live on campus and receive services at the same time. So we have this innovative look where we're building housing and adding mental health. And we also have mental health providers or substance use providers who provide housing and have their clients have a stable place to live. So we're looking at from both both realms, both either build the housing, add the mental health, or have the mental health and add the housing to it.
That's interesting. I can imagine there'd be some logistics issues or some dynamics between the folks in a facility or around a community like that. That could be tough to police. How are your folks at dealing with those issues?
You make a good point. And so that's why we have trained individuals that live on site to be able to help. And we also have an integrated population. So not everyone who lives there has a mental illness or a substance disorder. So we have people who just need affordable housing. And it's very interesting to see the community come together so that folks are looking after one another. So especially when we have some older folks and some younger folks there, the older ones will come to the staff and say, you know, Bill's having kind of a hard day today. I've noticed that he seems a little off and he didn't shower yesterday. And then staff is able to do an intervention very timely just to check on Bill to see if everything is okay. Another instance could be, you know, someone says, you know, I noticed that Melanie hasn't been out of her room in about 3 days. Usually she comes downstairs and, you know, will play cards with us or, you know, is around. And so that gives staff an opportunity then to be able to intervene early before a crisis happens and to be able to manage the population. Because you're right, you know, some folks with severe mental illness are not always the best neighbors. You know, they don't realize that they're being loud or, you know, that they are, you know, in someone else's space, but they are individuals that, you know, really that mean well. They just aren't polished always.
Oh, I could imagine that would be the case. As you try to introduce folks into an environment like that, as your member organizations are doing that, remember, you're an oversight and helpful organization for a bunch of folks. How do they integrate those folks into that situation? That could be a tough part of that, the initial stages, I would think.
Oh, it is tough. I mean, and you have to have staff available basically 24/7 because you never know when, you know, something's going to happen. Most of these campuses are substance free. We don't allow alcohol or, you know, any other drug on campus, because that is very important to be able to have folks stay in recovery and to, you know, to lessen the substance use that goes on. So that's a big component of it as well. And then a lot of it is integrating the new individuals as they move in and kind of getting them comfortable with the format and feeling comfortable in their surroundings.
A lot of them may have a tough time with rules, and these facilities have to have rules in order to succeed and function. So I can see where that full-time staff would be necessary and helpful. I can tell by talking to you that you're someone who's found a rewarding career in dealing with these things, and there's a lot of gratification when you're providing services like this. What is there for folks that you might want to recruit into this mental health services world? What would you say to them as they're considering this?
I would say this is the most rewarding career that you can think of. You will have an immediate impact, not just on an individual, on a family, and on your entire community. We are one of the most interesting places to work in because you will see a wide variety of experiences, illnesses, and people who come in the door. And so you just go home every day with your heart full, and your brain stimulated because you've really had to think and you've worked with people and you can just see the light turn on in their eyes and their anxiety decrease and help them to get back into their community and to a life that's fulfilling.
What kind of career could someone look at if they're looking at becoming a counselor or becoming involved in services like these, maybe an entry-level job and where they might be able to take it to in a career?
Oh, absolutely. So we are seeing, you know, individuals can come in as what we call a behavioral health technician, which is like a nurse's aide. So when you come in, it gets you familiar with the population. We teach you skills and how to, you know, interventions and how to work with the clients that we have. And then you can move all the way up if, you know, get a college degree and maybe become a therapist or a licensed clinical social worker, psychiatrist if you want to go to medical school. On the full gamut there, we have that. We also employ peers. You know, so a peer is someone who's had lived experience, which means you have had a substance disorder and now you're in recovery, you're not using. Perhaps you've had a mental illness and now you are stable. And so you really have that life experience to help these clients navigate the system. Someone who should call them and say, okay, it's been 2 days, you need to call your doctor. Did you get your prescriptions filled? Let's help you do that. Here's how I found a place to live. This is a really good apartment complex, and perhaps you can try over there. Just everyday things like that can help too. So you don't have to have a college degree. We can certainly look at individuals and are happy to employ those with lived experience and those with just high school diplomas, as well as associate's degrees too. And one thing we've started is an apprenticeship program, so that we have an opportunity for individuals to come in at that lower level, receive some really skilled training, and then have a ladder to be able to move up into other upper level positions, and as well as some funding to help with school, books, tuition, that sort of thing as you're in the system.
That's interesting. Of course, like any other employee, you're going to have administrative positions, folks helping with logistics and other things that you need. So it's a broad array of jobs that would be available in this field.
Absolutely. Everywhere, like you say, from transportation and driving the bus to maintenance to being a full-time therapist, all that is available.
Very good. Let me ask you, and I can imagine there would be varying levels, and you would see some levels each day. How do you define success in the mental health world?
Success is defined really as one day at a time. Being able to, individuals who've come to us in crisis, being able to de-escalate them and get them back in the community. Individuals who are living with a mental illness, to keep them stable in the community, reunite them with their families, have them working at a stable job. I mean, all those things is we define as success. And mainly it's so that people can live a fulfilling life. That's success in our field.
I would imagine you see some level of success every day then.
Absolutely. Every day we see successes, but this is not a linear equation. So just because someone is really good one day doesn't mean they're going to be good the next day. All of us have good days and bad days. You know, there's days that you don't want to come to work, or there's days that you don't want to have to get out and mow the grass, but you do it anyway. And the same thing with this population. So as long as we can keep people stable for the most part, we are doing a really good job.
One of the things you run into in law enforcement, I would imagine you guys too, are the stresses that come with the job in providing these services. What kind of services do you have for your employees and your coworkers there?
We encourage a lot of self-care for our employees, and we have opportunities for our employees to come together and to be able to have some time to talk to each other and kind of, you know, talk about the day and their demands. And we also have services for the caregivers as well, so that there are therapy services available. And we're seeing that become more available both on the law enforcement front too, so that there's someone to talk to about the stresses and the things that they've had to see in the day's work as well.
Those are great assets to have available, and that's a good thing, because it's not easy dealing with other people's problems, and a lot of folks don't realize everybody's got problems, and when you're dealing with everybody else's, sometimes you don't have a chance to deal with your own.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so you just can't go home and hold it all in. So we try to do flexible schedules, give people time off, and then just have, you know, an opportunity to decompress during the day as well.
Very good. Melanie Brown-Wolfter is with us. She is the president and CEO of the Florida Behavioral Health Association. We're going to talk about some of the expense of this, where the funding comes from, and what they do to be able to provide these services when we continue on the Florida Roundtable.
Stop your grinding with Brooks Nygaard.
Are you waking up in the morning with a sore jaw, headaches, ringing in your ears, all because you're grinding and clenching your teeth at night? That's exactly what was going on with me. I ended up going to a dentist, and he wants to charge over $600 for a night guard. That's when I found the Brooks Night Guard. You mold it at home to the top or bottom teeth. Other mouth guards go all the way to the back, which allows the back teeth to touch. This is where most of the grinding and clenching occurs. The Brooks Night Guard redirects the bite force away from the back teeth, reducing jaw pain while still protecting the teeth. This unique design is what makes Brooks Night Guard different from all other traditional grind guards. Order your Brooks Night Guard today and get 10% off plus free shipping. Go to BrooksNightGuard.com and enter the code Brooks95. That's BRUX95.
Stop your grinding with Brooks Night Guard.
That sound is every driver's worst fear. How much will the repairs cost? Is it your engine, your transmission, or worse? A car breakdown could cost you thousands to repair, but not if you have CarShield. CarShield administrators pay your claims directly to the mechanic or dealer of your choice, saving you time and money. Call CarShield today before your next breakdown. Call 800-954-1023. That's 800-954-1023.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Get started today.
Call us for free information at 1-800-577-2648. That's 1-800-577-2648.
Back on the Florida Roundtable here on the Florida News Network with Melanie Brown-Wolfter of the Florida Behavioral Health Association. My name's Bill Mick. We appreciate you joining us each week here on the Roundtable. And as we look at mental health in the state, Melanie, it's been very informative thus far this hour. You talked about different facilities that are available, different services that are available, the kinds of jobs that are there for people who want to assist folks in these situations. Those facilities, these services, have to cost a lot of money. What's the source of funding for getting most of these services done? Are there private donations? Is there government grant? What's out there?
You're absolutely right. The cost of services has increased over the last several years, just like the cost of many other services that are available have as well. And so for our community providers, again, we're the non-for-profit community provider. Our largest areas of revenue are from the state-funded services as well as federally funded services. So we are ever grateful to our state legislature and to our governor who have provided additional funding over the last couple of years to shore up our system of care and to make a long-term investment in both crisis care and recovery services to keep people in their communities. So typically we will see a lot of contracts with the Department of Children and Families, and we will see and Medicaid as well. Medicaid has done a great job in making mental health services available, as well as substance use treatment, medication assisted treatment services available without the barrier of prior authorization. So that's been a also have federal grants that come from our partners, the SAMHSA, the Substance Use and Mental Health Administration, as well as HRSA. And so those grants are for the block grant for mental health and a block grant for substance use treatment. So we see those that funding coming down and making these services available and making them affordable for many.
I see other jobs for grant writers in all of this, apparently.
You certainly do.
As you look at these issues, if there's a lack of funding, a lack of services somewhere, what's the biggest need? If you could convey that to government today, as legislatures prepare budgets, as the federal government looks at its next budget and what's going on, what would you say the biggest need is?
The biggest need is basically the full continuum. We need everything from those crisis services to those everyday services that keep people in the community, whether it's therapy, whether it's having a peer that just, you know, gives you a call and checks in on you. We all that needs to be available, and it needs to be available for young children as well as our geriatric population too, because, you know, mental health affects all of us from the cradle to the grave. And so not only do we have to help support our young folks by helping them to become resilient, teaching them, you know, critical thinking, decision making, make sure that they have self-esteem and that they have a sense of self, as well as working with the parents and grandparents to help them manage their perhaps anxiety or depression and help them to be able to help their children and grandchildren.
Have your member organizations, you mentioned kids and anxiety, mentioned the impact of social media or electronic device addiction and kids having those issues, whether it's bullying online or the other things that are in play out there? And are there solutions for them through the organizations that you deal with?
We are seeing a huge increase in everything that you just described. So social media is both a boon and a bane in that, you know, it's very helpful. All of us have smartphones. All of us are on our devices all day long. And so we tell our parents, put your device down so that you can be present with your children. Mm-hmm. So how many of us actually put our cell phones down and actually have a conversation with our kids or with our spouses? Almost everyone has their phone in their hand, mm-hmm. You know, and we're checking text messages or TikTok or whatever it may be. And so we are seeing definitely problems with self-esteem and feelings of self-worth, because the photos and the images that are on screen have all been heavily edited for the most part. And so no one looks perfect. And no one can be perfect.
Right.
And so, you know, it's very careful. Parents need to be very careful to monitor screen time and also what their children are participating in. But I will say, and we mentioned it before, children and adolescents are really comfortable on their phone, and they can text and use, you know, some other means to communicate with kids their age, as well as with therapists and counselors. They're very, very comfortable in that realm.
So that's got to be a benefit.
Yes, that's definitely one of the tools.
About 45 seconds here. What's the relationship between your member organizations and, say, the education institutions, whether it's private or public schools around the state? Are they able to work in those circumstances to help those kids?
Absolutely. We have really close relationships with the schools in each of our areas, and we have been providing services to children and to families year-round, not just when school's in session, and also after hours. So we, some programs, we are actually on-site. Others, we have that mobile response, so we can come to the school for kids that are in crisis and work to de-escalate that, as well as, again, working with the families. And then working on the economics, too, making sure they have housing, you know, looking at
And we'll be back to wrap it up. Sorry, we're running out of time, but we've got one more segment. We'll wrap it up when we continue on the Florida Roundtable.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 10 million people. Without destroying your credit, they can reduce your interest rates, lower your total payments up to 30 to 50% to get you out of debt fast. For a free consultation, call Consolidated Credit now. The program works. Call 1-800-206-6755. 1-800-206-6755. 1-800-206-6755. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services, Inc. 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 80092. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation. Commission license number DC 83. Service may adversely affect the individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action. Not a loan company.
Ah, the sun's out, the water's cool. It's a perfect day for boating.
What's that boat doing?
Perfect boating days can quickly turn into disasters when drugs and alcohol are involved. Don't let boating under the influence ruin your day. FWC officers have zero tolerance for impaired operators. If you're over the limit, you're under arrest. Learn more at myfwc.com. Brought to you by the FWC Division of Law Enforcement.
Now you can get generic Viagra shipped to your door for about $2 a pill. Get the same impact for less. Call Steel Man Pills now and get the same blue pill for about $2 a pill. Call now for the 50-pill special and save even more. Plus, get a free bonus.
800-621-4764. 800-621-4764. That's 800-621-4764.
Shortness of breath, patient's confused. Temp 102.
He just had an infection. What's going on?
He's becoming septic.
Antibiotics started. Bed ready. Let's move him.
Infections can lead to a deadly chain reaction in your body called sepsis. Very quickly, sepsis can cause tissue damage, organ failure, and even death. If you know the risks, can spot the symptoms, and act fast, then you can get ahead of sepsis. Learn more at cdc.gov/sepsis.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
My son had a full-blown asthma attack. It came out of nowhere.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
I had a fever and these terrible headaches.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had Zika virus from a mosquito.
He had a reaction to cockroach allergens.
Threats to your health can come from unexpected places. Get the facts. Visit pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
As we wrap up the Florida Roundtable for this week, Melanie Brown-Wolfter with us, the president and CEO of the Florida Behavioral Health Association. Melanie, we were talking as we went into the break that services available for kids through schools and folks working with our schools, your member organizations working with them. Is there a resource for either kids or parents that see someone either in crisis or they think they may be dealing with an issue they're not familiar with? What's the best way for them to find information?
So our website, floridabha.org, has a list of numbers for both mobile response, for talkable communities, for suicide lifelines. All that is available on our website by community, so you can see where you live and what the number is. The First Lady has her Hope for Healing website, in which you can go there, and there's a link to resources in the community, both for housing, food insecurity, as well as services too. And so all that is available. And so we encourage folks to reach out. There's no cost. For our crisis lines, you can talk to someone and it doesn't go on your medical record. It is not, you are anonymous basically. And if we recognize that there's a need for services, we can refer you and get you in to see someone right away.
If you had a message to leave this audience who may be dealing with this unexpectedly with a family member or friend, what's the message you would leave them?
You're not alone. Help is just a call away, a click or a call. That's all it takes, and we will be able to help you.
Are people reluctant to go get that help? And how do you get them past that?
They are reluctant to do that. And so we're using a variety of options or interventions, if you will. And that is one, being able to use telehealth so you can remain in your home in order to receive the service. One is a lot of awareness and being able to realize that all of us have issues, that all of us at some point in time either feel depressed or have anxiety or just have a need to talk to someone. I mean, humans, we're pack animals. We like to be together. Mm-hmm. If you don't have family around or neighbors that you talk to, it's really difficult to be isolated. And we do much better when we have friends and family around us that can help. And so we are, we're available to help you through anything. And one thing I'd like to say, too, is that mental illness and substance use disorder are medical issues. It's like having diabetes or congestive heart failure. You can't handle your diabetes by yourself. You have to have the right diet. You have to have medication. You have to be monitored by your physician. It's the same thing for mental illness, whether it's something mild like a transient depression. Maybe you just had a baby and you've got postpartum depression. It is transient, but there's help available for that. Maybe you have schizophrenia. Maybe you have had an opioid addiction and you are ready to be in recovery. All of the services are available for all of those illnesses, and we can help you throughout the lifetime.
And that's floridabha.org. Melanie Brown-Wolfter, thank you for this hour and for giving us this information. It may be important to note, less stigma than there might have been attached to these issues previously. And I think it's largely due to work of folks like you who are in the arena helping folks get that assistance that they need.
And Bill, yes, thank you for that. And it's also individuals like you and programs like this that allow us to come on and talk about it. 20 years ago, we wouldn't have been able to have this conversation. So things are changing for the better, and it's a wonderful opportunity we have now to be able to help those in need.
Again, Melanie Brown-Wolfter, thank you so much. We appreciate the hour. And I'm Bill Mick from the Florida News Network. Catch up with me at BillMick.com. Questions or comments about the show, more than welcome by email there. And we'll see you next week on the Florida Roundtable from the Florida News Network.
You've been listening to the Florida Roundtable with Bill Mick on news and public affairs presentation of the Florida News Network. The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of this station management, owners, or sponsors. For questions or concerns, contact Florida Roundtable at fnnonline.net.